Hallelujah. Glad to be back home. I'm going to be in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, and I'm going to be in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Announcements have been made towards Ablaze 2024. It's 40 days to dominion. 40 days from today. And so everything we're going to be doing will be preparatory towards Ablaze 2024. And there is no other thing to talk about but dominion. Amen. That's the direction that God has given us as a ministry this year. And so we need to dig deeper and deeper into it so that we can walk in the consciousness of it and be all that God wants us to be. So all my messages will be preparing you for that moment, for now and for then and for thereafter. I have for a title this morning, Dominion Begins Upstairs. Dominion begins upstairs. U-P-S-T-A-I-R-S. Upstairs. And if you're guessing that I'm talking about the subject of prayer, you may be guessing right, or maybe not completely right. You would recall in Acts chapter 1, after the Lord Jesus had appeared to the apostles and he was talking to them, teaching them the gospel of the kingdom for 40 days after his resurrection. The Bible says very clearly in verse 8 of chapter 1, when they asked him, when in verse 6 they asked him when the restoration of Israel was going to be, if he was going to do that right away. And he said to them, that's none of your business, what the Father has put in his hands. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he blessed them, and then the cloud received him as they were looking at him. As he was talking to them, he went up in the clouds. And while they fixed their gaze on the cloud, the Bible says that two men who wore white apparel appeared to them and said to them, this same Jesus that has been received up into glory will come back in like manner. And so on and so forth. And in that same chapter, the Bible says that they went back to the house. They left the Mount Olivet, and then they went back to the house in Jerusalem. And they went to the upper room. The upper room. And that's Acts chapter 1. And you will find that in verse. Let me tell you the verse where you're going to find it. If the media doesn't get there before me. You'll find that in verse 13. And when they were come in, the Bible says they went up into an upper room. That's a room upstairs. A room upstairs. They went there, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all, in verse 14, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Altogether, there were about 120 people, 120 people, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. And then Peter addressed them and said, somebody needed to replace Judas Iscariot, who had lost his place and who had gone his way. The point I wanted to get here was that they went to the upper room. They went upstairs. There is something connected with going up and prayer. Because it sounds to me that when you go through the scriptures, it sounds to me that when we pray, we are actually going up. We're going up to the high places. We're going up to commune with God. Like John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1 and verse 10. He said, I was in the spirit on the last day and I heard a voice behind me. And what did the voice say? Come up hither. Come looks like God always is interested in what happens upstairs. So if you're thinking about the subject of prayer this morning, you're thinking right. However, I have a little bit of a detour. I have a different direction that I want to go. And when I refer to upstairs this morning, I'm actually talking about the upstairs in your head. I'm talking about your mind. Dominion starts in your mind. Dominion starts in your thought. In your thought. Defeat also starts in your thought. Amazing. I know over time we have emphasized, especially in this church and maybe in the body of Christ generally, we've emphasized the importance of words. How our words are very, and it is true because it's biblical that our words are very important and we need to pay attention to the words of our mouth. In Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we need to be careful what we say. In the book of Numbers, God said to them in chapter 14, and I think verse 28, he said, say to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, that which I hear you say in my hearing will I do unto you. The importance of what you say. You say it, I'm going to do it. Jesus, in teaching of faith in Mark 11:23, having said in verse 22, have faith in God, in verse 23, proceeded to explain the power of our confession, our words. He said, whosoever, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say, say, say. In this verse, you have more say than believe. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's say number one. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, believe number one, that those things which he saith, say number two, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, say number three. Say, saith, saith. So it's important what you say. But I believe the Holy Spirit is taking us into a deeper dimension this morning. I'm beginning from today that before you say, something happens before you release your words, your thoughts. We pay very little attention to that because nobody sees our thoughts. But your thoughts are so important that Jesus said, as a man, if you look at a woman lustfully in your thoughts, heaven can see that you have already slept with her. It is that serious. So it is nothing to laugh about and say, well, I didn't do the act. I only thought about it. I only fantasized about it. I want to bring to your attention this morning that heaven is paying attention to your fantasies. What are you fantasizing about? What tickles your fancy? What thoughts do you allow to fester in your mind? What thoughts do you allow to stay in your mind and to take root? Everything begins with a thought. Everything begins with a thought. This building began in the mind of somebody. In the mind of the owner, then to the mind of the architect who designed the thoughts of the owner. The owner did not design it. The owner thought about it. I wanted a building. Contracted an architect and described his thoughts to the architect. And the architect brought out a picture of his thoughts. And then handed that to the structural engineers, the building engineers, the bricklayers, and all of the other people involved in building. And then here we are today in a material building. Everything begins with a thought. Whether good or bad. Say with me, every little thing begins with a thought. Every great enterprise, say with me, every great enterprise begins with a thought. Yeah, every business you see today, whether it's Foodco or Walmart or Marshalls, Ross, ShopRite, whatever you see, everything, every business enterprise that you like, which you see today, started as a thought in the mind of someone. Every great enterprise, as well as every weapon of mass destruction, starts with a thought. Somebody decided, if we want to kill many people, instead of using the bullet, killing one person per time, can we have weapons that can kill 1,000 people at a go? It was a thought. And somebody thought, let's take that to the next level. Let's kill 100,000 at a go. Somebody took that to the next level. Let's kill 1,000,000 people at a go. Somebody took it to another level and said, what if we have one person in a crowd and it's only that one person we want to kill? We don't want to kill everybody. And a gun will not work. Can we come up with something we can design and computerize, and we can use the computer to drive it, and it will go into the crowd and look for that person and hit the target? That is the science behind the inter-ballistic squad missile. It was a thought in the mind of someone. Everything you see today in this building, the electricity, the fans, the microphone, the clothes you're wearing, everything starts with a thought. If that is the beginning point, then I think we should go back to the beginning. Do you agree with me? If we're really going to walk in dominion, don't you think we should go back to the beginning? Where it all matters? Can I have an amen to that? If we're to fully experience and enjoy the victory that Christ purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, then we must pay close attention to our thoughts. We must begin to censor our thoughts. Part of the earthly ministry of Jesus was to help upgrade. Some people call it upscale or upskill the thought life of the people. It was part of the earthly ministry of Jesus to help upgrade, upscale the thought life of the people. Why? So that they could embrace kingdom thinking, all right, and kingdom lifestyle. Because every kingdom lifestyle you see is preceded by kingdom thinking. If you don't think it, you would not be able to walk in its reality. So thinking comes first before the materialization of it, before the real, anything you want, anything you desire in your life, thinking comes first. In fact, Jesus teaching how to pray in Mark 11:24. He said, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you desire, he put desire before prayer. Prayer is very important. Oh yeah, prayer changes people. Prayer changes things. One of my mentors, Reverend George Adeboye, said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. And I can tell you so many testimonies on prayer in my personal life and in the lives of other people and those I have read after. There was a man called John Knox. John Knox drove out a very corrupt queen, the queen over Scotland back in the day, Queen Mary by name. She ran out of town, and when she was interviewed later, why did you run out of town? She was a very powerful woman and very corrupt. She said, I ran out of town because of the prayer of John Knox. Prayer? She said, yes. She said, I am more afraid of the prayer of John Knox than the entire armies of Elizabeth of England. Scotland was under England at the time, and Queen Elizabeth was the most powerful person in the entire United Kingdom. But Queen Mary said, I am more afraid of the prayer of John Knox. Can you pray to a point that demon-possessed people are afraid of your prayer? Just the sound of your prayer. Come on, there's a sound to prayer. There's a sound to prayer. There's a sound in heaven that reverberates in the earth. In Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place. But suddenly, there came a sound from where? Talk to me, church, if you know that scripture. There came a sound from where? From heaven. So there are sounds in heaven, and they reverberate through the earth. The sound came from heaven, and before you know it, it filled up the room where they were, and they began to produce their own sound. They began to speak with other tongues in consonance with the sound from heaven. Prayer is very powerful. There is no force as potent as the one generated in the place of prayer. By prayer, Elijah stopped rain. He changed the climate and the weather of the whole country, the nation of Israel, for 3.5 years by prayer. And when there was drought everywhere, there was famine everywhere, by prayer again, he unlocked the heavens and asked rain to come by prayer. By prayer. For Jesus said, Mark 11:24, whatsoever you desire when you pray. So he put desire first. Have you thought about it? That thing that you desire, because you must think about it before you present it in the place of prayer. Many, many times we are too much in a hurry to pray. Oh, Pastor Fred, what are you saying? Are you saying we shouldn't pray? I never said so. But I'm saying there are times that the situation is not an emergency. And so you don't need to get in prayer mode immediately. There are times you need to sit down and assess the situation. Like Jesus said, is there anyone, I think it's Luke 17:28 or so, pardon me if I didn't get that right. He said, is there anyone among you who wants to build a tower who will not first of all sit down to count the costs? It is part of the thinking process. I said to a young man last week, in a shop where I'd gone to buy some stuff, and they were counseling him, and he was being very stubborn. I said to him, you're just fresh out of secondary school. And all the allegations against you that I've heard in this shop is that you are running after girls. And actually, as we're still there, some of the girls came. They saw adults, and then they ran back. Small, little girls. And I said to him, it's natural for you to have libido. You have testosterone, you have all the hormones for sexuality. God created us that way. It is not your fault. So when a boy likes a girl or begins to feel the feeling that he has never felt before, it is natural, it is normal. I made him feel comfortable. But I took it to the next level. I said, young man, Jesus said something I'm going to say to you. You want to build a tower. You want to build a skyscraper. You want to erect a building. Jesus said, the first thing you do is to sit down. So sit down. Go and get a seat. Sit down. He said, okay, sir. So he sat. And I said, no, he didn't sit. He didn't sit. He wanted to, but somebody distracted him. But I said, so stay and listen. I said, the first thing Jesus said is sit down. And then now take a pen and paper and count the cost. How much are they selling a bag of cement now? How much are they selling iron? How much do they sell one block? How many blocks will I need to erect a 24-story building? That's a tower. How much iron will I need? How about gravel? How about cement? How about sand? How about labor? How about the architect? Because he needs to design something. How about the structural engineer? How about the other people that will be working? How about those who will supervise? And then you do your market search, first of all. I said, so now you have a girlfriend, and there is the tendency, because you are mature now and she is also mature, that the first time something happens between both of you, she might get pregnant. So let us calculate the cost of pregnancy based on the rates of things in the market in the Nigeria of today. Now, when a girl gets pregnant, there are two options. You may either keep the pregnancy or you may terminate the pregnancy. But before you get to the stage of terminating the pregnancy, when people get to know that, oh, this boy, you have impregnated somebody, I said, can you handle the shame that comes with it? Can you handle the news, the cordless news that will come with it? As you are walking on the street, somebody's tapping somebody, see that boy, that's the boy, that's the boy. You become paranoid. Even when people are not talking about you, you assume that you are the one they're talking about. Now, that could lead to depression. So let's assume that you did not terminate the pregnancy and you decided to have the pregnancy, to have the baby. I said, now, there are two options also when a lady keeps a baby. Now, two options, what do I mean? There is the option of having a cesarean section, the CS, or the natural childbirth that comes through the natural birth canal. But before then, she will have to go through what is called antenatal clinic. And they'll be giving her zinc and Obron 6 or pregnant care. And you will pay for that by the special grace of God. Because in Nigeria, they don't give it for free. Can I have an amen? So I said to him, you need to go to a chemist nearby and find out how much they are selling those things. And she will take it for 9 months. Now, when the time of delivery comes, I said, these girls I'm looking at are tiny. They are small. It is very likely that their cervix may not fully open when they want to deliver. And if the cervix of a lady is not fully open, the only option then will be a CS. It might be epidural, or it might just be the conventional way of carrying out a CS. Whichever way, they will have to open her up. Now, they may have to give her anesthesia for her to sleep off or for her to stay awake while it is happening, but she won't feel the pain. I said, can you stand the trauma? I've been there twice. Now, the cheapest hospital that is a good hospital, a good one in Ibadan, that will carry out a CS, will charge you not less, if it's a good hospital, will charge you not less than 350,000. Not less than that. If it's less than that, maybe it's a mission house and you want to think twice. The boy began to sweat. How much have you saved? Now, that is just to deliver. You will pay other things. In fact, when your woman is going to the hospital, there is a list they would have written. Ripe water is there. I don't know if they still write that. Glucose is there. Cotton wool is there. Maybe cotton board. Methylated spirit. Am I right? The nurses know what I'm talking about. It's a whole lot. You have not eaten. That does not concern them. You have to bring those items. God helping you. If it's a very standard hospital, they will bring in a pediatrician who will clean up the baby when they bring out the baby from the womb. And that pediatrician has only come to clean up the baby and to take care of the baby, ensure the baby is breathing well and all that. The baby is all right before leaving, and they will charge per that hour, per that delivery. And finally, just so I can move on with my message. By the grace of God, when Nigerians hear that you have given birth. Oh no, come on, don't take that from me. They mark the calendar. Oh, Obim on Tuesday to go down. Next Tuesday is the naming. They already know the naming. Are you getting what I'm saying? And with the rate at which food is expensive now, they will plan to come not only to eat breakfast, they will stay for lunch and carry something away for dinner. Am I talking sense? Nigerians will not have mercy on you. If you say you have a party now, they will come. How many people can you afford to feed? The boy looked at me and said, thank you very much, sir. Count the cost. The process of counting the cost is the process of thinking. You know what I was helping him to do? I was helping him to adjust his mentality. 5 minutes of sexual pleasure can put you in trouble that will last you 10 years of your life. It can get you off balance, completely. Completely. It will turn you to a father when you are not planning to be one. You are not even mature to be one yet. You don't even know what it takes to bring up a child. Count the costs. Whatever you want to do in your life, this goes beyond sex. It applies to every area of your life. Sit down to count the costs. If we are thinking right, we'll be acting right. And if we are acting right, we'll be getting the right results. Did you get what I said? Everything begins with a thought. So young men, as you are lusting after that babe in church, who's got the backside that you like? Frontal attack, and you can't sleep, and you're thinking of getting a number with the only intention of having sexual intimacy with her, begin to count the cost. Because another thing that might happen, I don't pray that happens in our church because we keep praying and we're sexually pure, but don't even venture outside of church. Because there are people who are carriers. They carry something. In the realm of the spirit, there's something they carry. The moment you have that union with them, they transfer. There's a transference of spirit. Sex is more spiritual than physical. Then physically, there are some people that are also carriers. From the H to the R to the V. They carry something. It doesn't show on the face, but they are heavy. One touch, you'll get a blessing from them. Count the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost. Why did Jesus teach an integral part of the ministry of Jesus was teaching. You know, some people just assume that Jesus was just a miracle worker. He was just doing miracles anyhow. No. Yes, he did miracles. But a big, listen, church. A big part of the ministry of Jesus was teaching. Why was he teaching? Because he wanted to affect the thinking of the people. Whoever has your soul has your life. Whoever has your mind has you. Why are you in church this morning? You made up your mind. Why did you make up your mind? Maybe as a first timer, somebody invited you. And maybe you checked us out on Instagram or on social media. You saw something you like. Say, oh, even if it's once, let me just go to this church. I've attended a conference in America before because of a 45-second advert. I shared with the media yesterday at their retreat. The power. Why would a smart, intelligent person like you order for something and then you got something inferior to what you ordered? You saw the ad. You didn't see the product. You saw the ad. The ad was nice. Do you know what drives ads? Psychology. They just want to get into your mind. That's why when companies want to make huge sales, especially those who deal in consumables and things that household use, they look for a jingle that will appeal to children. Mama too good, oh, he too good, he too, they give us where, he too good, he give us indomie seeds where. The next thing, on the street of Mokola, Chidi will just wake up and say, Papa, indomie, oh. And then Ifan will say, Mommy, indomie. And then Audu will say, Mama, indomie. Everybody's talking, all the kids are talking to me because they've entered their minds. There are other noodles that are maybe that may even be better than Indomie, but they don't know them. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why, listen to me. Those of you in business, you should learn to put your stuff out. Nobody will advertise your product for you. If you don't, you are the only one who knows in the expression house that you sell human hair. And the next time you complain, God, I don't have any patronage. I won't go to church again. I've sown my seed. I've prayed, I've fasted, but nobody's patronizing me. Who knows what you're selling? Nobody. Only you and God. Only you, International Ventures. And then later you now say, Elohi, Elohi, Lama Sabachthani. Why wouldn't they Lama Sabachthani? Because nobody knows what you're into. Nobody knows what you're into. You put your stuff out there, put it on their face. Put it on their face. Put it on their face. That's what drives adverts. I'm a practitioner, so I know what I'm talking about. Maybe you did. Oh, I won't tell you this. I don't want you guys to give me a new name. Let's go on. Jesus came to affect the thinking of the people. They were thinking too low. He wanted them to step up and think like kingdom people. He didn't want heaven without us, so he brought heaven down. And so he wanted the people to start thinking like heaven-bound people. He that is from above is above all, he said. I am, from time to time, he would tell them, he would remind them, I am not from here. I am not from beneath. I'm from above. And he that comes from above is above all. So I brought the thinking of above all to you. It's an above all thinking. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask on earth or think or imagine. Above all. It's a dominion mentality. That was why. Dominion was his thought every time. He couldn't even entertain any form of oppression of the devil. In any form, whether sickness or disease, poverty, lack, or early death. Wherever he saw the works of the devil, it destroyed it. 1 John 3:8 says, for this cause, the B part of it, for this cause was the Son of God made manifest, even to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus could not permit the works of the devil because his mentality is the above mentality, above all, kingdom mentality. And in the kingdom, there is no sickness. So everywhere he found sickness, he healed the people. Where he saw early death. Luke 7. Verses 12 to 15. As he came near the city, he saw the whole city was weeping and mourning. What was going on? A young man had died. And he happened to be the only child of a widow. The devil is a bad devil. The widow of Nain. He killed her husband, made her a widow. I'm talking about the devil. Now kill the son. If you allow the devil, he wants to destroy everything that belongs to you. If you allow him, will you allow him? If anybody's sleeping around you right now, it's a dangerous time to sleep. If you allow the devil, he will destroy. He's a destroyer. Jesus exposed him in John 8:44. He's a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of it. In John 10:10, Jesus described his ministry that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he knows to do. The devil will never be nice to anybody. Don't beg the devil. Don't parley with the devil. Don't negotiate with him. When Jesus came, Luke 7 and verse 12, he came near the city and then he saw. Now, what did he do? The Bible said there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. The only son, and she was a widow. Can you imagine? The devil doesn't understand mercy. He doesn't have mercy. He cannot be merciful to you. That's why you need to be ruthless with him. If you see a growth in your body, be ruthless with that growth. Curse it dry in the name of Jesus. Ladies, don't pamper lumps in the breast. Guys, don't pamper any pain in any part of your body. You see it, you curse it, you command it to dry up. I woke up at 2 a.m. Friday night into Saturday morning. That was yesterday morning. Typical of me, I wanted to pray. As I was praying, one of my fingers was itching. I didn't take it serious. I was praying and praying and praying. I was itching. I prayed about 2 hours. I itched for at least an hour. I never had that kind of itching before. It was really bad. My hand was my finger. And then by the morning, it had extended to this place. So I went out with my wife and then I came back. And then I used the daylight to check. I had a rash all over my hand that looked very much like an infection. Like I was reacting to something. And of course, many thoughts were running through my mind. And I simply said underneath my breath, in the name of Jesus, you don't stay here. I mean, there is no room for you. I am doing a training now at Bible study every Thursday. If you don't come, you are shortchanging yourself. I won't beg you, don't come. The people that are coming, are you getting blessed? You can train your mind so much that you renew it to the word of God. That anything and everything contrary to the word of God, your mind will bounce it back. As the devil fired those thoughts, my mind bounced it back. Instantly, I commanded my skin to be fresh. Is it not part of our confession? I stand before you today, I lie not, under 5 minutes, everything returned to normal. Everything. My daughter was looking at me like, what's going on? Because she saw that I was looking at my hand and I was placing it. And she wanted to make a statement. Don't enforce it. Get to that point in your life that you walk in dominion from your thoughts. The first place the devil will defeat anybody is their thoughts. He will send you an idea. If you buy it, you are done for. When he sends the idea of failure, the idea of early death, kill it. Kill the idea. Are you with me, church? In Mark chapter 5, verses 23 to 43. Now, you know what Jesus did with that guy that died? The only son of the woman, the widow of Nain. He raised him up and handed him over to the mother. He ruined the funeral. They already were going to bury him at Songo Cemetery. He met them on the way. Or whatever cemetery they were using. Young man, go to your mom. Boom! And the guy started talking. They say, hey, God has visited us. In Mark chapter 5, a man called Jairus came to him and said, look, I beg you, my daughter, verse 23, is lying at home at the point of death. At the very point, she was going to die any moment from that point. That's the meaning. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. I love Jesus. What you tell him is what he will do. The centurion in Matthew chapter 8 said, don't come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. And he didn't follow him home. But Jairus said, I need your person to come to my house. Don't only come. I want you to lay your hand. You got to lay your hands on her. When you lay your hands on her, she will be healed and she shall live. Come to my house. Don't sit down. Lay your hands on her. And guess what Jesus would do? He started following him. If you believe that my word can do it, it's unto you. But if you believe I need to come in person, I will come. But that was before he went to the cross. You can't tell him to come now. Jesus, I need you physically. Physically. Come to my room. Please come and raise my mom. Jesus, physically. Oh, don't waste your time. He has given you his spirit. He has given you his authority. He has given you his name. He has given you his blood. He has given you his word. He has given you angels. What else do you want? But here, he had not gone to the cross. So he was following Jairus to his house to go and raise the girl, the daughter, who was 12 years old. But guess what happened on the way? A woman who had had an issue of blood, hemorrhaging and bleeding away for 12 years, came in the press behind and touched the hem of his garment, and then power flowed into her and the blood flow stopped. Of course, you know the rest of the story. She had a testimony. It went on. The girl had died. But when Jesus got to the house, Jesus didn't say the girl had died, because he brought kingdom thinking. In kingdom thinking, they say, sleep. The girl is sleeping. But the people who were mourning, who had been mourning all day, Jesus got there and said, the girl is not dead, she's sleeping. Same people. Instantly. Does that not say something to you? And when people come and say, I'm with you in this. I got your back, baby. Sometimes, yeah, I got your back. The moment you step out, they play. Is that not the way many people are in life? You know what Jesus did? He sent all of them out. Out! Out from here. Okay, we shall go out. We shall see. Wake her up. Maybe she's sleeping. And they walked out. Jesus raised the girl back to life. He brought kingdom thinking. This girl is too young to go. She's only 12. When he raised her up, he handed her to her parents and commanded them to give her something to eat. She's been sleeping for a long time. She's hungry. Give her breakfast. Somebody's a kingdom mentality. In Matthew chapter 8, he was coming down from verse 1. He was coming down from the mountain, and a leper came to him who was in stage 4 of leprosy. And the leper said, if it's your will, please, you can make me clean. He said, it's my will. I will be clean. Kingdom thinking. If it's bad, we're going to fix it. Anything bad, give it to Jesus. He's going to fix it. Your business is bad, give it to Jesus. He's going to fix it. Your academics is bad, give it to Jesus. He's going to fix it. Your career is bad, give it to Jesus. Give him anything, he's going to fix it. He's the Mr. Fix It. He fixed that guy. Nobody touches a leper normally. Lepers don't even live among people. They live in their colony outside of town. But this guy came to Jesus as Jesus was coming down from the mountain. And Jesus hugged him. KJV says he touched him. Some translations, some Bible scholars believed he actually embraced him. He hugged him and said, I will be clean. Boom, that guy got his miracle. Instantly, he was clean. Travel down, verse 5, 6, same chapter. A centurion came and said, my servant lies at home and he's about to die. Master, would you please help? And then Jesus said, I will come. And then the centurion said, please don't come to my house. I am a man under authority. I say to one, come, and he comes. I say to another, go, and he goes. I'm a soldier. I have at least 100 soldiers under me. I understand authority. And I know that you're a man of authority. If you send just your word, you don't need to come. Jesus turned around and said, man, I've never found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Somebody said, come to my house, lay your hands on my daughter. This one says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just send your word, because your word coming is as good as you coming. And guess what? Jesus, having spoken to the people, then said to the guy, go, be it unto you according to your faith. Matthew 8 and verse 15. And he fixed that situation. I go back to, why was Jesus always, more often than not, why was he teaching? He was called a rabbi. Why was he a rabbi? Rabbi means teacher or master. I give you three to 4 points and then we close for today. Number one, he wanted to get kingdom mindset into as many as would be open to it. He wanted to get kingdom mindset, kingdom thinking into as many as would be open to it. As many as would be open to it. In John chapter 1 verses 11 to 13, he came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. He came to many people, especially the Jews. They didn't want him. They rejected the kingdom mindset. So what did he do? In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, verses 23 to 25, the Bible says Jesus went here. God wants your life to be a reflection of his kingdom. And I'm from the Father. And I can tell you where I come from, there is no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack, no early death. But some of them looked at him and said, who is this guy? Is this not Joseph's son? What happened? He was teaching in their synagogues. Number two, what was he doing also? Oh, come and talk to me, church. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is the meaning of the gospel? Good news. Good news of the kingdom. What would be good news to a blind person? Remain blind, because it is the will of God. You never know. You never know. Maybe it's the will of God for you to be blind. Would that be good news? Come and talk to me, church. What would be good news to a blind person? What would be good news to someone who is lunatic? What would be good news to someone who is depressed? Stay there, because sometimes in life, you just got to be depressed. You just got to be depressed. Because sometimes, even in heaven, somebody gave a word of prophecy. Maori, Maori, askaba. I know you are weary and you are weak. I, the Lord your God, sometimes I'm weary and weak. You know you need to pack your Bible and run away from such a church. I don't know how you got there in the first place. Are you with me, church? There is no sickness in heaven. Can I have an amen? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What do you think the good news will be to a poor man who is not able to pay his rent, who is not able to feed his family, everybody's hungry? What do you think will be the good news to such a person? Remain poor, for it is the will of the Father. Because some are rich and some will be poor in life. Maybe you are among the poor. Will he not give you a dirty slap? Talk to me, church. What do you think would be good news to a poor man? Remain poor? Or you don't have to be poor one more day of your life, because Jesus is here and the kingdom is here and you have kingdom supply and you have access to kingdom supply if you believe on the Son of God. Does that sound like good news? When you're able to pay your bills, does it sound like good news? When you're able to buy fuel in your car, and you're able to buy food on your table, and you're able to be a blessing to your neighbors, you're able to hand them a congo of rice, a congo of beans, a congo of gari, and say, manage this, use it to whole body for 2 weeks, and you just send them some 5K, and say, use that to buy little gas and oil. When you do that, and you say, sit down, I want to tell you about Jesus. In fact, you don't need to say, sit down. They will come to you and say, please, cut small soup for me, please. Small soap for me. You say there's no soap. My secret is Jesus. Show me that Jesus, I beg. That's why when the whole world is in darkness right now, it is time for the church of God to arise and shine. And I pray for you that through your lives, God will shine his glory. Lord, five people said amen. The gospel of the kingdom, and number three, what was it doing? He was healing, he was teaching, he was preaching and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He had no respect for any of them. From mental sicknesses, one Bible scholar says Jesus actually dealt with five different kinds of sicknesses and diseases and the torments of the devil. Sometimes you read in the Gospels, and those who were tormented by the devil. That's especially talking about mental health issues. If you have ever met someone who has had a panic attack or anxiety disorder or ADHD or bipolar, these things are not nice. Sometimes they lose control of themselves and they wonder, why am I behaving like this? It's like two people living in the same body. Schizophrenia. If you have suffered it before, you know it's a torment. I've suffered insomnia before. I know what it means to work all day, go to bed all night, and not be able to sleep all night. It's a real punishment. I'll be rubbing my two legs against each other on my bed and be begging for sleep. Sleep, where are you? To even yawn was a problem. Yawning was not even coming. And let me tell you something. Every time God delivers you from evil stuff like that, and you are in peace and you are resting in the Lord, the devil would come back again to try and get you back there. You need to fight it. Fight it, and don't you ever go back there. Are you getting what I'm saying? If God has ever rescued you from depression, don't ever go back there. Fight it. Keep it out there. Come on. I need to go very fast. Kingdom. Someone say kingdom mindset. That was what he was trying to do. Go to verse 25. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. Please, quickly, quickly. Verse 25. Okay, so let's not skip verse 24. I'm being mindful of time. I have 13 more minutes. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. Can you see diseases and torments? Can you see torments there? Oh, come on, talk to me. Can you see torments there? And those who which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, people who had run mad. All right? And those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Does that sound like good news? No wonder people started bringing their sick cousins, nephews, nieces, grandma, grandpa, neighbors. They brought them. Hey! We have never seen this kind of thing before, because he brought heaven down. And he targeted the minds of the people. You don't have to remain in this condition. You can be better. Life can be better than this. Life can be better than this. Verse 25. And there followed him how much people? Great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Go to the next verse. The next verse will take you to Matthew 5:1. God bless you. Still in the same breath. People came from all over. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him. Yes, please. Yes, please. And he opened his mouth and did what? Come on, talk to me. He did what? He taught them. He taught them. Why was he teaching them? Because they needed to be taught. Nobody brought any language from heaven. We were taught. I can speak English today. Many thanks. All glory to God and many thanks to my teachers. And of course, self-development, personal development followed suit thereafter. But I didn't come from heaven with English. If I had been born in Germany, I'd have been saying, Wie geht? Es geht mir gut. Guten Morgen. If I'd been born in France, it would have been bonjour. Comment ça va, très bien, merci. Et vous? La vie est belle, toujours, toujours belle. If I'd been born in some other country speaking Spanish or Portuguese, it would have been estorando, stuprehendo, manto, frento. Sometimes when they're talking, it sounds like they're singing. Mi corazón, su casa, mi casa es su casa. If I had been born and raised in some part of Nigeria, I would have been speaking Ndemfo. Abasiorion V. AMM King Jesus. Praise Master Jesus. Somebody's looking at me. Don't sue me. She's a lawyer. It's a yip. A yip. I want to buy a yip. What is wrong with this Ibadan man? He's calling Jesus Jesus. He's calling Yampion Sampion. Based on where you were born, how you were trained, the language you were taught. All the languages we speak, we were taught. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Jesus wanted them to speak the language of heaven, he began to teach them heaven. He began to teach them the word of God. He began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he taught and taught and taught and taught. Please, because I don't have time, go to verse 19 of that chapter 5. Media, thank you for helping me. I need to tie this somewhere. Now, so Jesus, still teaching, said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, it shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, what commandment? Under the Mosaic law, they had a whole lot of commandments. Under the old covenant. And humanly speaking, you can't fulfill all of them. 613 commandments. But Jesus came to fulfill them all. He came to fulfill them in our place. Because by ourselves, you can't. See, some of you have committed sin this morning. Ordinarily. Under the old covenant law. By virtue of what you are wearing. How dare you combine wool with jeans? The colors that some of you are wearing, maroon and black, in the house of God. Go far out to just check yourself out. Ariel is wearing something like purple or lilac. And the heart is multicolored. Kai! That's a sin. Under the old covenant. Some of you like catfish. You are sinners. Eat a fish that doesn't have scales. Some of you have eaten rabbit before. Those Mokola boys, I don't trust them. That's not the kind. Rabbit. I'd eaten pepper soup before. The pepper soup was prepared with a... You know, Nkita. They prepared it and we ate it. Now, under the old covenant, you eat a dog, they will stone you. But Jesus brought grace and truth. He didn't just bring grace. He brought grace and truth. Are you with me, church? So what does the Bible tell us about the fulfillment of the law? Go to James 2:8. Quickly. James 2:8. Quickly. I want to tie this up because I wanted to get something holistic today. 2:8. God bless you, media. Now, let's read everybody. 1, 2, go. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. What is the royal law? The royal law is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Bible says in James was the brother of the Lord Jesus. He said, if you fulfill the royal law, the royal law of the kingdom is the law of love. The law of love summarizes all the law. So if you love the Lord and you love people, you do well. Let me give you another scripture. Romans 13 verse 8. Can you be there quickly? Thank you. All right, everybody, let's go. 1, 2, go. Oh, no man. Anything, those of you owing people online, borrowing money from banks, that will stop. That has stopped right now in the name of Jesus. You shall be a lender, not a borrower in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, owe no man anything. If you're owing somebody and you have the money, please go and pay them. Are you with me, church? All right, it's only a wicked man that borrows and does not pay. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. When you borrow a pen from someone in church or at your place of work, please, consciously, go and return the pen. I know some of you are gifted. I don't want to look in your direction. You are gifted in borrowing somebody's pen and not returning. So if we check your closet at home right now, you got about 16 pens. Only you one. Let's go back here, everybody. 1, 2, go. owe no man anything, but what? Come on, church, come on, church, come on, church. But to do what? To love one another. That's what I owe you. That's what you owe me. You owe me love, I owe you love. Let's read it. Let's finish it up. One, two, go. For he that loveth another has done what? Come on, talk to me, church. Has done what? Fulfilled the law. Pastor Fred, what has love got to do with this? You see, all the commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, is also part of, is part of this chapter, but I don't have time to read it. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff and things like that. Okay, well, thank you. Media has brought it up. For this, okay, let's read together. Let's go, one, two, go. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be a false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended, summarized in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you can't love your neighbor if you don't love God. This is the summary of the entire law. Let me break it down. If I really love you, will I steal from you? If a man truly, listen to me, loves his neighbor, and his neighbor is not at home, but left a teenage daughter, 13-year-old girl, the kind of things we hear on the news these days, you hear a 76-year-old man defiles a 6-year-old girl, and you're wondering, what attracts a man like that quarter to the grave in a girl who is yet to even have the characteristics of a girl that could attract a man? The man is sick upstairs. Dominion begins where? Dominion begins where? So when a man is sick upstairs, he really needs help. If you love your neighbor, would you go and rape his daughter? If you love your neighbor, would you wish that something evil will happen to them? Now, listen to me. It's easy to say no in church. But the natural Adamic nature that we inherited is very selfish and does not love anybody. It's about self-love. That's why, listen to me, those of us who grew up in the hood, when I was growing up, anytime NEPA took light, you ran outside of your house first. You go check the entire street. I hope darkness is everywhere. Once you see darkness everywhere, you are happy and fulfilled. Then you come back, no fight. Mommy, everywhere, you're happy. When you go to check your result and then you fail the course, you look for everybody's matric number. Moshope, we will. Jacob, Tosi, Balaji, Tukuma, Mommy, hello, mommy. We all failed that course. In fact, we didn't fail, mommy. They failed us. The natural human instinct, very selfish. Don't wish anybody well. If it happens to me, it should happen to everybody. But hey, we can't afford to be like that. We're God's children. We're God's children. If you fail the course, by some chance, please wish others well. He doesn't take away anything from you. You go back to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me too. Jesus said to rejoice with those who rejoice. So you know what? It's difficult for people to rejoice with you. It's easier to mourn. It is well. Are you with me, church? Don't worry, my sister. It is well. But when God buys you a car, they go home. Why now? Why, God? I taught her BBC when she joined our church. Somebody made it to first class. You made it 2-1. Rejoice. Thank God for their lives and thank God for their first class. And wish them well. Don't join the gang that says, it's not by first class. It's not by first class. Hey, you want to know, Jenny? Why did you have it? He pinned them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is somebody getting anything from this message? The law, the entire law is summarized in love. If my sister makes a mistake, Let's even say she fell into fornication. If I really love her, will I get on social media? Chakr, chakr, chakr. That's the whole slide. And then go to the next slide. Life happens. Because you know, people will be coming to your DM. Babes, what's up? Babes, what's up? Chop, 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 chop. Abby, am I making sense? Then you can tell them, you know that girl, I don't want to talk. No, babes, now, you're the crazy. Where's the word? We're talk now. Am I hitting you guys hard? I think there's a lot of anointing from that side. Until you open up, you know that girl, you know that guy in our church, you know that brother, and everybody has a name. Whether you know it or not, people give you name. Coded name. They can call you Braskaba. So when they are talking and you are there, they say, you know, Braskaba said, you didn't open like you should. 2 centimeters, going to 10. So they wheeled out to UCH for emergency, and they called us. By the time they called us in the midnight, the security had locked where we're living at that time. The church that owned the property, they had all their cars parked. So there's no way you can call 20 people out of the church vigil to come and repark. There was no way we could get out. And they said they needed blood in UCH. So I called someone that I knew in the blood transfusion center in Total Garden. He said, man of God, don't even try to come at this time. They will shoot at your car. Ah. He said, come in the morning. I said, the girl needs it now. Please, can you help me? The girl needs blood now. Because they needed to section her. And without blood, they would not section her. We were calling on the phone. I was praying, Rabba Shakataya. My wife was on the floor, Jesu, Jesu. We had a matron in our church then, Mommy Okoro. She's in Gambia now. Is this Zambia or Gambia? Gambia, I think, the Gambia. Retired from UCH. She was a matron to the Expression House. Wonderful mama, a retired nurse. I called her. She started crying. Pastor Fred, I'm in Lagos. And the Holy Spirit told me not to travel. I said, Grandma, it's not your fault. It was a mess. And the girl was going, Pastor Fred! At the crack of dawn the next day, my wife and I reported in UCH. Thank God they did the surgery. They did what they had to do to save her life and save the baby. She's alive today. The baby is alive. He's a big boy now. When people make mistakes, yes, as a church, we have a stand. Our stand is the scripture. We will deal with you. But you must understand that it is done out of love. We don't want you lost. And who can write off anybody in whose life Christ resides? And you that you have made yourself the judge, to be judging everybody. Do you know what might still happen before life is over? Somebody say kingdom mindset. Have you been blessed today? I think I should stop here. Will this be a good place to stop? Have you got something? Have you got something? Are you sure you've got something? Very good. Let me wrap up by saying, you cannot go beyond your thought life. You cannot go beyond your thought life. That's why the Word of God, which contains the thoughts of God, every time it is embraced, enlarges your capacity. The Word of God, see, if you're looking for the thoughts of God, what is God thinking? This is what God is thinking. This is what God is thinking. Every scripture is inspired by the Spirit of God. This is the thought of God towards you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and hope. One translation says, to give you an expected end. The thoughts of God towards you are good. They are thoughts of peace. God is not thinking failure when he's thinking about you. God is thinking dominion. God is thinking Ewa. Go ahead and dominate your world. Go ahead and be the head and not the tail. Shalom, go ahead, be the head and not the tail. Every one of you, go ahead, be the head and not. That's what God is thinking constantly. He can't even accommodate failure in his thoughts. It's impossible. Are you with me, church? I take two more scriptures and I close. Isaiah 55:7-13. Isaiah 55:7-13. Let's read together, everybody. I love it when we read together. In fact, I love you to be on your feet as we read, because I'm closing now. For you to know that I'm closing. One, two, go. One, two, go. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his. The unrighteous man his. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man should forsake what? His thoughts, because that's where it all starts from. That's where unrighteousness starts from. God is looking at your thoughts. I want to beg you, Expression House. I'm going to continue this next Sunday. But before next Sunday, I want to give you an assignment. What are those thoughts that linger on your mind? Are they thoughts of hate? There's a particular person you just hate. Are they thoughts of suicide? You're tired. You can't take it anymore. You feel everybody hates you, nobody likes you. Or are they limiting thoughts? You can't be great. You can't be the best in your department. After all, you are from a very poor background. Everybody's poor. Your family, grandpa poor, grandma poor. You are poor. Your father poor. Your mother poor. Who says you won't die poor? Thoughts. Limiting thoughts. Please. This is the assignment. Pay attention to the thoughts. And please write down your thoughts. I'm not going to ask you to bring it to church next Sunday. I just want to lead you in a mental exercise. Just to pay attention. What am I thinking about? What are the dominant thoughts in my heart? Because God is paying attention to your thoughts. If they are thoughts of lust, you are just lusting. Write it down. And then begin to deal with it. Why am I always thinking this way? Why do I just don't like that guy or like that girl? They've not done you any harm. You just don't like them. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Sinners are sinners primarily because of their thoughts. That's where it starts from. Then it goes to their words. Then it goes to their actions. Then it goes to their character. Then it goes to their lifestyle. But the ab initio is always the thoughts. The beginning. Let's go on. And let him do what? Let him do what? You return even in your thoughts. First of all, return to the Lord. Do you know that sometimes I'm praying in the Holy Ghost? I don't know if it happens to you, and my thought is somewhere else. I want to pray for the service, but my thoughts, I'll be honest, my thoughts sometimes is on my court case. And I'm thinking about that guy. And I'm thinking about the lawyer. And I'm thinking about, and then I say to myself, God prayed for 30 minutes. You wanted to pray 1 hour for the service. So sometimes you have to call yourself back. Are you with me? Does it happen to you? Call yourself back. Like, how would you know that you need to call yourself back? Pay attention to the thought. What am I thinking about now? Why would I be fasting? I'll be praying. And I'm thinking about chicken. For what? The church, because the sister got engaged to another brother in the church who could express his thoughts. This is the Expression House. If you love someone, why are you wasting time? Rabadondo Ria Bahaya. Holy Ghost, convince her that I love her. Holy Ghost, show her. No, you're wasting your time. He will do what he will do. You need to do what you gotta do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Leave everything to God. God will sort it out. God will work it out. I don't need to write my proposal. I don't need to send an email. I don't need to register my business. Such people die poor. If God has given you ideas, give and be well, even as our soul prospers, because his word conveys his thought. Because according to his word, I don't want to preach another sermon. Let's conclude this one. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Right? Next verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right? For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Yes, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall accomplish my thoughts and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. What is my thought towards you? Everybody read this out loud. This is what God is saying in that chapter. These are my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. God said, my thought is that you shall go out with joy. Lord, two people said amen. Lord, hear the amen of those who said amen. For you shall go out with what? And be led forth with what? God is thinking joy. God is thinking peace. Why are you in depression? God is thinking joy. God is thinking peace. You will go out with joy. And you shall be led forth in September and beyond September with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Three people said amen, Lord. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Next verse. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fair tree. Thank him for his beautiful thoughts. And hey, don't come to church alone. Next Sunday, bring somebody to church. We need to push forward with these thoughts. We need to push forward with this message. Mahasta kada bahali ala bahaya. Why did Jesus go to the cross? To die for us. Because of his good thoughts towards us.